Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Julie Geiser, Public Information Officer with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission based here in North Platte. Good morning, Julie. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well.
I never can remember the region. What are we region Game and Parks here?
We're Southwest.
Southwest,
yep.
Okay.
And we kind of touch into Central. So I cover two territories, if you will.
What? You got more miles to drive?
Oh, yeah. I love staring at my windshield.
Apparently.
It's more fun when there's bugs on it, though, you know. Right now, there's no bugs on it.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be ice and snow on it.
Well, you know, I'm a winter person. I like my snow,
yes.
And I like cold, so.
Yes. Well, let's go to Buffalo. They're going to have a lot of snow.
Yeah, right?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
They're now up
good
into
heavens.
Estimations into the 5 and 6 foot range.
Wow.
When the rain comes in.
When was the last time Nebraska, well, I should say because Lincoln had that big fluke storm, but when was the last time we saw that here in North Platte?
It's been a number of years, but it's always been too dry of snow, which,
yeah.
Not,
yep.
Don't want to jinx us, but. You know, I like doing odd things like making igloos, and
right?
The dry snow is the wrong type of snow.
Yeah, yep, snowshoeing.
We've talked about that one with your Beyond the Becoming an Outdoor Woman program is doing a snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing, yep.
Because I've got...
And then igloo building on top,
yep,
of that.
I've got like 4 pairs of snowshoes. We could outfit a number,
right,
of people.
I think I have 4 or 5. So.
Oh, good. We're good. We're good for a small class.
Yep. You know, you got to buy extras so people will go with you.
Yes.
You can con them into it.
Yes, exactly.
You got to try this. It's awesome.
Exactly right. I'm still looking to get one of the old wood.
Me too.
Full frame,
yes,
type things. And everybody wants them now as decorations. So
right.
When I find them on an auction, they bid up real high. It's about like a gun.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yeah,
wants
it,
one.
It truly is. That's right.
And talking about igloos, I found a company out of Canada that makes toys for kids. And one of the things they make, and it's about the size of a large lunchbox. It's a little rectangle, but the bottom is open, so you pack it full of snow.
Right.
And it has a slight bevel on the ends and the bottom, so when you drop it on the ground and drop the next one into place, it automatically starts building the curvatures.
Right.
I like that thing.
Those are awesome. I've seen those.
I like that thing.
Yeah, me too.
So
I love building snow forts, and I like to try shelter building when it snows a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just to test my survival skills.
Now, the easiest way to do that is, you know, find some type of ditch or cut somewhere and pile some limbs over the top of it.
Right.
And then let it... I've spent a couple days in shelters like that. So, well, up to what we're doing right now, firearms deer season is wrapping up on Sunday. So what,
right,
should people think about or remember for the remainder of this season?
Well, typically, you know, the last weekend is kind of the final hurrah, and people are out and about in big numbers searching to fill their tags. So as a reminder, number one, keep safety in mind. You know, always wear your hunter orange on your head, chest, and back. Make sure you're pointing your firearm at what you intend to shoot only.
And think about what's beyond.
Exactly. And what is beyond that target? If there's a farmhouse or cattle, or if that deer is skylining on a hill, that's not a good shot to take.
No. Where I'm hunting, one angle, the UP main line is within a mile.
Oh, geez.
So I'm always cautious about over there. And I have passed up a couple shots in years past because they had a train parked over there.
Right.
And I don't want to run the risk of skipping a bullet off the ground and hit the side of a train.
Yep, exactly.
So.
And that's one of those things that people really have to be conscientious of, too. You know, that bullet's going to travel at least a mile, if not,
yeah,
two.
Most high-power guns, they'll say they've got a range of a mile and a half.
Yep.
If you have the right elevation on them.
Yep. And even if you're shooting from an elevated stand, you still risk that chance of that bullet ricocheting off the ground and moving upwards.
Or, you know, even passing through the animal and hitting the bone and deflecting and going somewhere else.
Yes. So, you know, always be aware of what's beyond that shot.
Right.
And one other, you know, thing that I especially notice is you get a lot of road hunters the last weekend. So please be aware that don't hunt from the roads. Do things like you're supposed to. Find public access. There's lots and lots of public access in the state of Nebraska. Or get permission on private property before you go.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough I have permission on private property and work very hard to maintain those relationships
exactly.
So I can come back.
Yep.
The topic of road hunters, I probably shouldn't say this, but I think we ought to amend the regs to say they're fair game.
Well, you know, as a landowner, I have been shot at on my own property from hunters off the road, and it is not fun.
No.
It is not a fun thing to have to go through. You know, and then we find dead deer that people have poached, and they just leave them lay. So it's just, you know, step it up, people. We got to do this right.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing up on the agenda with deer hunting in respect is muzzleloading season.
Yes.
You going to be into that this year?
Absolutely I am. I love the muzzleloader season. It's cold, and there's usually some snow.
Cold is the key. Like, we've talked about this on the radio before, but I grew up in South Texas where you had to shoot your deer, run out, immediately field dress it, and pack it full of ice.
Right.
I don't like that. I like I like it like we can do here in the cold.
Yes.
And tease the guys at the weather service when they come in, you know, the 3 or 4 weeks ahead of deer season. You know, I'm putting in my, here's the type of weather we need.
Yes. Here's my request.
Here's my request.
For muzzleloading season.
And they
season.
Did a great job this year.
They did. They did.
But the rifle season... firearm season is my trophy season.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of deer, and I've passed up a number of bucks already. Just didn't find the one that was quite big enough yet. I did have one in my scope the other day that I had the safety off. He's a nice-looking 4x4, and I had the safety off, and then he turned in my direction.
Oh, he got a different angle. Right.
And he had... fair mass, fair symmetry, but the width of his rack was inside his ears.
Right.
So he...
typically outside of the ears would be nice.
Right. That's for that my,
big
kind
trophy.
Of my minimum.
Yep.
So he got to live another year.
Right. Just think, if he lives, he'll be bigger.
He'll be bigger next year.
Bigger next year.
Now, muzzleloader in the late season are my meat season.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And once in a while, even muzzleloader... can be a trophy season because you get those bucks that survive the firearm season and they kind of become nocturnal. And then during the muzzleloader season, when the rut's pretty much over, they get hungry.
Right.
So they're looking to fatten up because they've extended a lot of energy during the rut.
That's when you need to be near those alfalfa fields and stuff like that.
Yep. And then, you know, you get the second rut. When the does that haven't been bred, they come back into estrus, and that can be a fun time, too.
When it comes to muzzleloader season, and mule deer in particular, we have mule deer conservation areas. Does the same conservation areas apply to the muzzleloading tag?
No. If you get a statewide muzzleloading permit, it's a month long. It's the whole month of December.
Right.
But that does not include... the mule deer conservation areas. You cannot hunt in those areas. That is a specific permit that is applied for during the summer months.
Okay.
And this year we have restricted areas in the mule deer conservation area in the Platte unit, a new one, the Pine Ridge unit. So, you know, up in that area, we're trying to protect those mule deer a little bit more because that is one of those pockets in the state where they are requiring us to, you know, conserve those deer populations a little bit because they're falling in numbers.
We're falling, but there's a couple years ago, There was a meeting held about deer management in the western half of the United mm-hmm. States, and Nebraska was given some kudos because we're the only state that had a stable or slightly growing mule deer population.
Right. So it's kind of pocketed okay. throughout the state. So, you know, when our biologists kind of come up with permit numbers every year, they have to look at permits that were filled in within the MDCA, and then they also have to, of course, work with the landowners as well, because we get some landowners that, you know, it's just way over carrying capacity, and then there's others, we don't see any.
Right.
So you kind of have to combine a lot of efforts to make the conclusion of where we are lacking in populations and where we have too many. And it's quite a juggling act, but there's a lot of science that does go into it.
Now, as far as muzzleloading hunting itself, are you into the modern muzzleloaders or are you a traditionalist?
Oh, you know, I love the traditional muzzleloader, but I have to admit, I did go buy an inline a few years back.
I
don't know. It's like the compound versus the longbow versus crossbows, but they're all so much fun.
I have several inlines, but they're all breech action.
Right. Mine is too.
So you put your 209 primer in the back, and they're, like you said, they're good.
Yep. But they can reach out there quite a ways.
Oh, yeah.
Which to me is kind of like cheating.
Yeah. The first one I'll grab when I'm muzzleloading is I've got a Tennessee Mountain Man flintlock. This gun is 55 inches tall.
Oh, my gosh.
And I get teased by people. They said, by the time you get that out of the blind, you're halfway to the deer.
Right. I'm going to reach out and touch it.
But I love those old flintlocks.
Yeah, the flintlocks are awesome.
And then I've got one that I've yet to spring on my hunting mates when we go to camp. One of the guys showed up several years ago with an inline, and he was thoroughly humiliated. So everybody has traditional style muzzleloaders, most of them cap locks. I show up with flintlock. But next time we have a full winter camp, I've got it's made by Pedersoli, and it's a swivel breech.
Ooh.
Fire the first barrel and rotate it 180 degrees, and you can get the second barrel off.
Really? Yep. Never heard of such a gun.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Wow.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. That's why you're the guru.
But it's, you know, you have to load each barrel. It's not a repeater.
Right.
It's a mechanical. You got to swing it to the next barrel.
Right.
But
that sounds really cool.
Other than it being like 12 and a half pounds, it's a heavy rifle. Now we've had some, if you're want to do something other than hunting, which I can't imagine why, but that we'll talk about. Fishing. We did some trout stocking.
Yes. Birdwood Wildlife Management Area Lake has a lot of trout in them, and you know those are 10 to 12 inch size trout.
They're pan size as soon as you catch them. Yeah.
And Rock Creek Hatchery down by Parks, Nebraska, and really, really far southwest Nebraska. They're the ones, they are the ones that raise those trout, and they even had a pond with some lunkers in it, and so those bigger lunkers even got stocked into Birdwood. So,
nice.
You know, right now, if you get a nice day and you don't have anything to do while the water's open, head on out and catch some trout.
And then, of course, when the water freezes,
that's the best time.
It makes a great fishery for that.
Yes, definitely.
That was when my boys were really young, and particularly Isaiah. He liked to go out, and at the time, he's like 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
He'd fish for 20 minutes and then go play with whatever he could find on the ice. But we were ready to leave one time, and I said, come on, bud, we got to go. And he said, no, he says, I got to fish here. And he's got his little pole down in the hole. And I didn't see any action on the pole. I said, let's go. He says, no. He says, he's almost there. He must have been able to see it because it gets so clear under the water.
It does get clear.
And then pretty soon, he had a fish. So
it's a good thing you waited.
Good thing we waited, yeah.
So, that's awesome.
And with fishing and lakes in mind, we've got some major projects going. By the way, we should have water in Lake Ogallala and starting to come down the canals by the end of the month.
Right, right, which will be good.
Which will be good. And then Sutherland and Hirsch, or, yeah, Sutherland and Big Mac have some big projects going, right?
Yes. We're actually doing some boat ramp repairs. The low water ramp at Martin Bay right now, they did pull the dock out. So people that might want to go down there and do some barge hunting for waterfowl or anything like that, there is no dock there. You can still use the ramp, but they are doing some repairs on that. And then Hershey Beach ramp at Sutherland.
Right.
Shouldn't be closed long, but could be a problem for either anglers or waterfowl hunters that want to get their boats in.
And they're starting to be
this weekend.
More. I've talked with a few people over there, and they're getting more waterfowlers on the
Yes.
lake, so it's time.
Every other access point is open. What happened was that ramp at Hershey Beach kind of got an undertow. So it's basically hollow under the concrete, and that concrete is going to break off if we don't get these repairs
right.
done soon. And basically what they're going to do is drill holes in the slab of concrete and fill
and
under.
Pump concrete underneath,
yes.
yeah.
Yep, fill underneath it so that doesn't cave off. So it'll save a lot of money and repair time on that ramp if we do it now.
Yeah, what probably happened and happens many times is they get that boat ramp and then on the upper side of the boat ramp, you get water running off from rain, and it runs underneath that and eventually
yep.
cuts out a channel that gets
yes.
bigger.
Yes.
And then you're on the boat ramp one day, and everything craters, and you're in the water.
Exactly, which would not be good for those putting a boat in or taking
no.
it out when
no.
that happens. So that is one of those good things that we are trying to get done. The Hershey Beach ramp shouldn't take. I mean, it should be open again. We're hoping, weather permitting, by next week. But like I said, could be a problem for those wanting to get out on the water with their boats or barges this weekend.
Now, waterfowlers in particular, you know, with this cold weather we've had, get ready because they're moving in.
Absolutely. There's more ducks and geese here right now than I've seen for a long time.
I was coming back from York Tuesday. And, you know, once I got to Grand Island, from Grand Island all the way back, the skies were full of geese. And
yes.
So they're here. They're moving down.
Yep, yep. Also a good time for bird watchers. There's a lot of birds yep. migrating through right now, not only the waterfowl, but even the smaller songbirds, so it's kind of a cool thing.
If you like that, it is.
That's right. Oh, and you know, speaking of waterfowl, if you don't have a place to go, Clear Creek Wildlife Management Area is an awesome place to go duck and goose hunting.
I have never been up there. You ought to take me up there someday.
It's awesome. It is so much fun up there.
It looks great. I've just never had a reason to need to get up there.
Right.
But I would like to go do it just to say I've done it.
Yep, it is fun. They've got the 10 pit blinds that are open for the public. And actually, right now, anybody can use those blinds on a first-come, first-served basis. But the Monday before Thanksgiving, which would be next Monday,
yeah,
it then yeah, then turns into a draw where you have to be at the Clear Creek office station 45 minutes before shooting time. And then hunters go through a draw, and then they draw for the 10 pit blinds.
And all you got to carry then to the blind is your gun and whatever you want to eat, because
right.
there are decoys in the blind,
yep.
right?
Yep, there's 24 goose decoys in every blind, and maybe a heater. It's kind of cold.
Yeah.
Got to take the heater.
Are they insulated enough, like a Mr. Buddy will do the job?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're pretty well insulated.
Okay.
They're all pits, except for, I think, one or two. So they've got the ground insulation around them, which really helps,
sure helps
keep
yeah.
it warm.
Okay.
So, yeah, nice area to go. Great place to do other hunting as well.
We got about 4 minutes left.
Four minutes left.
What is your best venison recipe?
Oh, you know, probably the one that is my go-to are backstrap pinwheels.
Ooh.
So, you know, when most people cut the backstraps out of a deer, right, they usually cut them...
Yeah, diagonally.
Kind of, and they make the butterfly steaks right out of them. Well, we take ours and we cut strips about a quarter inch, maybe a little less, the long way. So you have this big, long strip of meat.
So that's where you roll them up and make the pinwheel.
Yeah, so we cut it, you know, we usually get, oh gosh, depending on the size of the deer, you'll get quite a few pinwheels. Pound them out on each side, and then we put our favorite seasoning across that. And then I always use instant coffee granules. It's got to be instant coffee granules. But
that put a unique flavor in it.
It does. It takes, if you know you get a real gamey, or if you have people in your household that don't like the flavor of deer, this usually does the trick.
I'm gonna have to try that.
It doesn't take away from the flavor of the deer, but it doesn't make it quite so gamey. Then lay a strip of bacon across there, roll it up, and you're ready for the grill.
Oh, anything with bacon is good.
Oh yeah, bacon's it's bacon.
One of my campmates, Thad McCall, is a bacon fanatic. And one year I made him breakfast. He had it was like a bacon McMuffin covered with bacon with a side of bacon.
Oh my gosh. A baconator.
Baconator, yeah. So I like taking the back straps. I cut them thin, like 3/4 inch, and then pound them out. So if you've got, let's say, a 3-inch, 4-inch round strap, by the time I'm finished pounding, it's like 6-7 inches.
Right.
Break up all those fibers, tenderize the meat.
And that's what that instant coffee kind of does, too. It kind of tenderizes a little bit.
And then I'll make an egg dip and dip the meat in there and then roll it in crushed Zesta saltine crackers.
Ooh.
I don't know why it is. Zesta just tastes best. I've tried everybody else's. And then pan fry them in like the butter flavored Crisco.
Right. And that's good stuff.
One of these days I hope to be able to eat one because they're all gone by the time I get them out of the pan. But they are. They're delicious.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the inside tenders are good to do that way, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think...
Are you hearing music?
I'm starting... Not
two
quite
minutes.
Yet.
Two minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Waterfowl recipes.
Yes. You know, I like the corned meat on ducks and geese. There's a lot of good corned recipes where, you know, it's... just good for, like, if you like Reuben sandwiches especially.
Love Reuben
sandwiches. Oh man, that stuff is awesome. There's there's also a pastrami recipe that you can make with duck and goose breast that's awesome and super easy to do.
Work good with snow geese?
Yes, especially good with snow geese.
Yeah, because by the time you get into a bunch of snow geese, you're looking for recipes.
And you know, people are, you know, you basically do these recipes in a baggie.
Right.
And all you're doing is kind of smushing that meat around in a baggie for 5 to 7 days, and then we smoke ours, or you can put them in the oven. You know, you vacuum seal that. There's Christmas presents right there.
There you go.
It makes a perfect gift.
I am hearing music now, so we're done.
We could go on.
Thanks again, Julie, for coming in. Appreciate it. Have the rest of your hunting season. Have good luck with it.
You too. Thank you.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.